Welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Lucie County. I'm just one of your humble hosts, Sean Boyle. With me is
Ashley Mock.
And welcome to the half-hour radio program that airs every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 104.5 The Flame. And you may be thinking, well, Sean, we're listening on the radio. Why are you telling us this? Because we are currently broadcasting from the St. Lucie Public Schools studio, their WLX-TV, where this little radio program and podcasts, I should say, because it's also a podcast, turns into a television program, for better or for worse, once a month, thanks to that wonderful partnership.
I feel like we have, like, that multiple personalities where we're, like, radio show slash TV show slash podcast.
So the new show is called Sybil. That's a reference to those people who know what I'm talking about. But what we do in this time together, whether it be radio, TV, or podcast, is we talk about resources and things that are available in our great community we call St. Lucie County. Now, we at the Children's Services Council, Ashley, myself, the entire team, our board, we have five main priorities that we focus on. And those priorities are the things that we're trying to make a positive impact in. And those five priority areas are, say it with me, in the new year, everybody say it with me. One, making sure every baby's a healthy baby.
Two,
stopping child abuse before it happens. Three, keeping kids off the streets. Four, keeping them in school. And five, keeping them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors. And when I say that we focus on those, what we do is we track community indicators in those five areas. We fund programs. We work with partners to develop systems of care to provide resources that are available to all children and families in St. Lucie County.
And, you know, we talk about this often on the show, but we obviously are very data-driven. We collect a lot of information from all of those programs that we work with.
I feel like we can't emphasize that enough.
No, truly. And if you're listening and you're from one of our funded program partners, thank you for coming on that ride with us.
Yes. We are swimming in data.
Yeah.
In a good way.
In a good way. But we do, this is a particular time of year for us where we kind of
consolidate all
that data. And so that's been a lot of what's happening in our office. Shortly, we'll share with you our annual impact report so you can kind of see what that data looks like on paper in real life, how it impacts the community. But also, you know, we share that information all the time, really. This is like the one time of year that it's sort of condensed
in a pretty package.
But we have access to that information. We talk about it often on the show. And that really, I think, is where you learn what's happening in the community. Like, you can see from those numbers, from the stories that we tell with those numbers, what's happening to our children and families. And it gives us a really good picture of the direction that we need to go, so that we make sure that we're doing what's needed. But it also brings up a lot of conversation amongst our team, our program providers, and just kind of what's happening out in the community.
Well, there's really, if you look at our data, and this, trust me, the theme of the show isn't data, but if you look at our data, our work with data, we kind of have two pots that we work with. We look at overall St. Lucie County, and when we can, zip code and neighborhood specific for the entire community, and then we look at the data that our programs are providing us to show the impact that our investments and our work is going towards and whether or not it's moving that community indicator data. And I'm proud to say a little precursor, because we've been, like Ashley said, we've been pulling that data together. And just early last week, we pulled together the aggregate count of the reach that all of our programs had. And I think we're, if I remember right, it's roughly around 64,000.
Yeah.
And it represents roughly about almost a 10% increase from last year.
Yeah, it's higher than I can ever remember it being.
It's up there.
And, you know, we talk often on this show about those programs and the work that they're doing in the community. But I can't emphasize enough that if there's something that you are looking for your family, or you have a conversation with a congregation member or a coworker and somebody who's struggling, like, please don't hesitate to reach out to us, because even if it's not in our network of funded programs, we can find the right fit. We can find a place for you to get help. There is no limit to the information that we have access to. Like, we have this network of 54 programs that we work really closely with, but that doesn't include all of the partnerships that we have in the community.
Right. And when we get those questions, a lot of times, you know, we may not have the immediate, I mean, we do have some immediate responses, but sometimes we don't. So we'll talk to a community partner, and what we find sometimes is, oh, well, what that person asks is actually a gap in the community.
Yeah.
And then we work with community partners to help address that gap, not only for that family, but then you know, the obvious thinking is if it's an issue for that family, it's probably an issue for a lot more.
Right. And we actually have some things that we're going to talk about a little bit later sort of related to that. But again, just a reminder that if there is something that you're looking for and you either can't identify where it is or who might be able to help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or our team. You can call. People still call, make phone calls.
Rare,
imagine
but it
that.
Happens.
You can call our office at 408-1100. I promise whoever answers the phone will be able to get you connected to the right place. But also visit us online on our website at cscslc.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We share all the time on there about stuff that's happening or opportunities that exist. So lots of different ways to get connected.
It's 2024.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
I know, right?
I wrote the date wrong today.
Why don't we have flying cars at this point? I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there. But
it's just disappointing.
Because it's our first television show. We've talked about this on the radio. But any, I know we don't like resolutions because it's too committal. But any.
I like plans. I don't know.
Just plans?
Just like ideas.
That doesn't seem fancy enough.
That's very non-committal. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. I have these vague ideas
plans
for 24. Any
change?
Any for this year, or how's it going? I should say, or both.
It's good. I feel like for me, the theme I need for this year is to kind of like take a step back. Like last year, my family was so busy and so crazy, and so many things happened that kind of threw a wrench into the plans that we had. That I think this year is just kind of like taking things as they come.
Yeah.
We're gonna simplify
it
this year.
Stride.
Yeah.
Don't jump to conclusions. We've already had that conversation in the new year.
We're
both calming each other down.
Yeah.
I think besides wanting to be an influencer, I'm just kidding. I've got some personal projects that I want to work on related to music and stuff. But I do think, and actually one of my board members put this in my evaluation. Oh. I don't think I shared this with you. No, I'm just gonna share it with everybody. That maybe I need to find better work life balance.
Doesn't everyone
but
need
like
to find
less
better
on the work and let other people
more on the
I mean
left.
Not that I'm gonna stop working as hard, but maybe letting other people be up front, mm-hmm. out front, as opposed to feeling like I always have to take that on. So I'm gonna now step away from the show.
Thank you.
But that is something I'm working on.
I think that's probably true for everybody. I think work life balance is like a thing that we started talking about long ago, and it's just who knows what the right ratio of work balance is.
I just had this conversation with a coworker, not from our agency, but in our hallway. Those of you who know where we are can figure that out. And it's like, you know, put forth the time when you're at work and do the work. But the work is not you. You, as a person, have other components that make up who you are. And embrace those, because those are most times just as important, if not more important, than your work. And particularly if you're a parent. or even a son or a daughter, you know what I mean? A family, I guess is what I'm saying.
There's a lot.
It's, got a little philosophical there. Totally not
who
on
knew,
script.
Who knew that was going to happen today?
Yeah.
So, you know, surprise.
Our main producer leaves the room, and then we just start talking about whatever we
everything
want to talk
goes
about.
Off the rails after that. I don't know. So also, surprise, we don't have a guest today.
This is the guest. Sorry to disappoint.
I thought it was
you. What we thought we would do is, I'm going to be in full candid disclosure with our audience, because we're always, if anything,
we're very open.
It's hard to find a guest in the new year, right? Because everyone's just coming back, and everyone's schedule's a little, you know, they're kind of getting readjusted if they took some time off. So we thought, you know what? We're going to talk about, we always bring in our program, and we always talk about what great resources, but that's like
so
two-thirds or three-quarters of what we do at the Children's Service Company. Part of it is data analysis, which we've already covered.
Surprise.
But we do other stuff, so we thought we'd talk about some of the other stuff.
Yeah, and some of that stuff is really cool. I mean, we talk about St. Lucie Reads often.
A lot, yes.
In this program, on the show, out in the community. And St. Lucie Reads is sort of an initiative that we, I will say, started, created, solely fund still. But there are partners involved
check,
in that
check,
with us. Yeah, but we have, you know, St. Lucie Reads has kind of taken on a life of its own,
Completely. It's totally evolved from when we first started.
It's definitely evolved. I don't think it's probably where you and I thought it would go when it first happened.
No, but I see why it evolved to where it did.
Yeah, and truthfully, in conversation, I was just talking with him about it, our community engagement coordinator, John Caesar, kind of St. Lucie Reads is his baby, and he's responsible for it. But there's so much that happens in that that I think doesn't get talked about or, you know, shared as much. But through St. Lucie Reads, kind of the big arm of what that program does is distribute books to children in our community. And that's really the crux of kind of...
And we talk about that fairly frequently.
Often on
the
show,
25,000 plus books.
Yeah.
We've done book giveaways at the Mets. We've gone to neighborhoods. We've gone to community events. We've been partnering right now with Big Apple Pizza for their Read to Succeed initiative. Many a book come in and out of
unloaded
4 pallets of books last week. Many a books come in and out of our office.
Yeah, and I think it's important. John and I were just having this conversation actually, and I think one of the things that he really drove home about our book distribution efforts in the community is that not every child is a reader. Yeah. By nature. And he tells a lot about his story when he's out in the community. He was not a reader. But by having opportunities and options for them to choose books that they are interested in, it really opens doors for, you know, them learning to love reading and getting excited about books. Half of the books that we unloaded last week were Pokemon, and I actually brought that up to him when we were talking about it, and he was like, they love those. Like, yeah. That's what they get excited about, and that's great, and that's sort of, you know, the book distribution efforts that we have been a part of in the last year probably amount to more than 25,000 books this year, I would say, last year. But really just the importance of getting those books into the hands of kids so that they have reading material, period. Yeah. And that's a big part of what St. Lucie Reads is
working
on.
And it's really
on.
A compliment to the school day, right? So imagine you're in first grade, you know, you have a period where it's reading and English and writing, and then you go home, and if it's not reinforced, if there's nothing there for them to read, really it's solely on the school, right? And that's a lot. It needs to be reinforced 24 hours a day. So what better way to reinforce it than to ensure that children, particularly low-income areas where they may not have access to that, actually have books so that those kids have 3 or 4 books. So they'll be like, oh, you know, I worked on words today. Let me go now check out my book that I got and see if I can apply it and so on. And it also allows the parents to read to the child.
Yeah, and there's some cool things that have happened with that. I mean, we've been able with some partners to put book vending machines into multiple schools and one coming soon that I won't share. I won't divulge that information quite yet.
Real soon. It's already been delivered.
Yeah, we're excited about the things that this is kind of bringing on. And obviously, we can't talk about St. Lucie Reads without talking about Bookman, who literally has taken on a life of his own. And so much so now that we have a Bookman request form on our website. So if you want Bookman to appear at your organization's event, you can do that. We're actually celebrating Literacy Week later this month, and Bookman is very busy with full schedule of events. But St. Lucie Reads is really one of those things that kind of operates just on the outside.
Bookman has become so popular. Not only do we have to pay John, we have to also pay Bookman a separate salary. I'm just kidding.
But he's too popular for us.
But I will say, if anyone's listening, or hopefully people are listening and watching, I don't know why I always say that, but not only do we do all that, but if you go to stlucyreads.org, and St. Lucie is ST, and then lucyreads.org, not only will you find all the information that we just talked about, but there's also tips, reading tips for parents, for children of all ages. There's videos to engage your child or even yourself on how to read to your child. So it's really like a one-stop shop on if you're wanting to, and every parent should, read to their child or get their children engaged in reading, there's a lot of resources there as well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I don't feel like we talk about that a lot.
No, you're right. There is a lot there. And that said, I think in the coming months or in the coming year, we're hopefully going to see more of that. Some partnerships with outside organizations where we're going to be able to talk about some of that stuff that exists and how to help parents.
And I know we have a list that we're kind of going through, but I'm going to jump the list real quick because I just remembered something that we forgot. Another thing that we work on besides St. Lucie Reads, and we're going to talk about some other projects, is we've been working on building the capacity of leaders in the nonprofit community. So we've recently been partnering with Community Foundation Martin St. Lucie to offer a leadership course, and you've actually graduated a master class in leadership that not only coursework, but it also includes one-on-one coaching, if you will. And the reason why we're doing that is, you know, there's nonprofits throughout this community, and they're led by great people, but those great people aren't always going to be there.
Right.
And so how do we make sure that a lot of those nonprofits build from within? So what we've done is we've identified certain nonprofits, and we've provided leadership training to their middle and upper management so that it builds more of that succession plan, but also just ensures the integrity of that organization and the leadership of that organization.
And I think, too, one of the things that came out of, because as you said, I was able to participate in that class. One of the things that came out of it, I think, for me, was not just the skills that were built in the curriculum part of the class, but the network that was made with the other people in my class and even the alumni that had graduated in the classes prior to ours. And I think that's important for that sort of up-and-coming group of leaders to have other people in similar situations to rely on as we're sort of navigating this.
I don't know if you remember, and it's okay if you didn't, but myself and Elizabeth Barbella, we always speak at the end of the class because Elizabeth, from the Community Foundation, myself, and then Randy Prangy from Spot On Strategies kind of helped develop what this would look like. And so we always talk at the end, and I don't know if you remember, the one piece of advice I always give is you have this network. Mm-hmm. Don't lose this network. Go to coffee together on a regular basis just to share ideas, because I can't tell you how many ideas that you will get that I've gotten from our conversations, for example, but then also people outside your organization because they have different perspectives.
Yeah, and it's just a great way to share.
And the other aspects that we're doing around capacity building is we're starting to look at focusing on building the capacity of our after-school program providers, particularly around the education piece, so they can, again, complement what's happening in the school day. And then we've also, not surprisingly, because we're talking about nonprofits, we've done a lot around grant writing.
Mm-hmm.
We do a once-a-month coffee with the grant writer where we work with Innovant Consulting. Sorry, they just changed their name. I know who it is.
It's new.
Innovant Consulting, formerly Jody Riley. It's a very informal setting for a little over an hour. We provide the coffee. She provides the grant writing expertise. You can come with your questions. And if nobody has questions, she works through aspects of writing a grant for funders. And you have funders in the room, so we always lend our thoughts as well. But that is on the second Friday of each month at 9 a.m. Coffee, like I said, is free. Conversation is also free, but you actually have to be there to get it. But it's 9 a.m. on the second Friday of each month at our boardroom training room.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also doing grant writing training, both on in person and online.
So lots of opportunities. And I, we're talking about things that are sort of outside our normal conversation for this show or what we do, but still stuff that is super impactful to the work that our nonprofits are doing. And really that, I think, I'm going to say this. I hope no other CSCs are listening because, you know, we're a little competitive.
Close your ears, Martin County.
But I feel like this is what makes us different.
Yeah, it's not just the programs. And,
yeah.
I mean, we do much more. And it's helpful to us because doing that more stuff allows us to see what's really going on.
Yeah.
Because trust me, we've made some pivots and adjustments and some funding to help address some issues.
Well, and so that's a really great segue, actually, to some of the other stuff that we want to talk about today. And Sean sort of mentioned it at the beginning of the show. We like to feel like we are being responsive to what's happening in the community. And so we do have a mechanism by which people can come to us and say, I have this great idea, but I don't know how, like, it's not fully fleshed out and I'm not sure how to fund it or what it would look like. And so we have a lot of conversation with people that are in that kind of situation, or maybe they have just like a small one-time thing that they want to do to benefit children and families in our community. And we have a long list of things that
just
we have been
able
to
do. Small sample, too, I just pulled right before.
Yeah, of kind of these one-time projects that we've been able to do. I'll just share one of the new ones that you'll hear about or see possibly in the near future that I'm really excited about is we have a partnership this year with the St. Lucie County Fair. It's coming February 23rd, it starts. But their new fair director was interested in putting together a sensory room and a nursing room for families, which I think is so cool to be able to do that. And so we're helping with kind of outfitting those rooms so that there's a safe place for those kids to go and those moms to go. And we're going to be, it's really probably the first exposure that we've had at the fair in a really long time. But we're excited about that partnership and being able to support those families that will be there to have a place to go
And related to that, because you mentioned the nursing room,
yeah.
we actually worked with and partnered with the courthouse.
And the county.
And the county to establish a nursing room in the courthouse for actually anybody that's in there, whether they be a lawyer or a defendant or whatever it may be.
And that, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's actually a really great story. It was actually brought to us by the Association of Women Lawyers because they had lawyers who were trying to practice that needed a safe place to go, a quiet place to go. And so we were able to help with that, too. The room is outfitted with a lot of our funded program information, but also books and reading material for anybody who goes in there. So it's kind of like those projects that get brought to us that don't often get shared, don't often get the recognition.
They're not an annual program.
It's not flashy.
Yeah. Like, just it's there, and we were part of it.
Yeah, so those are cool things.
Kind of related, because I kind of sense a theme. So I'm just going to jump on to the next
along.
One. So the other thing that we just recently did was we partnered with Healthy Start to train more doulas.
Yeah.
That was towards the end of our fiscal year last year, and I realized that most people don't care about the date of that, but... It allows more coaches and more advocates for pregnant women in St. Lucie County, which is just helps ensure a healthy birth and the greatest outcome possible. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah. And then another cool thing that we got to do, I feel like we're just like sharing
all this. It's the cool thing show.
It's the cool thing. Another cool thing that we got to do, we've had a long partnership with Bluebird Music Foundation.
Daryl Bay and his group.
But a great partnership with them over the years, sort of kind of took, I don't know, a little break from, they weren't doing a lot during COVID and just recently kind of came back into the fold. And so we have worked with them the last 2 years to be able to provide music instruments to students who can't afford to purchase them. So, you know, whether they are in band or orchestra or whatever it is that they're doing, whatever they're pursuing in a music field, purchasing those instruments for them and having them accessible kind of allows them to continue that music education and growth. And so that's been an exciting thing we've been able to do with Bluebird the last couple of years.
And another special project and another thing.
And another.
And this isn't on the list. I'm going off script.
Uh-oh. Okay.
We partner with the Chamber of Commerce, St. Lucie Chamber of Commerce, to allow the Young Floridian Scholarship event to happen. So we provide the dollars that allow them to provide the scholarships. Now, you may be thinking, well, Sean, if you're in this field, you'll be like, well, isn't IRSC giving 2 years? Well, 2 years doesn't include books, doesn't include if they don't go to IRSC. So we help provide the money to provide the scholarships. And those scholarships, just so you know, aren't just academic based. It doesn't always go to those kids. Because I've heard before, like, well, you're providing the scholarships, but those kids get scholarships anyway. No, it's based on what they were able to achieve and the obstacles they were able to overcome. And a lot of the young people that get our scholarships, first-time college attendees.
You and I have had the opportunity for a long time to be judges for that event and to actually review the applications and sit in on the interviews. And every year, I feel like I walk out of there and I'm just like, whoa.
And you're like, and then you go back to your
why
children,
are my kids not doing
and your children are like, come on, you guys got to step it up.
There are some incredible youth in our community. And if you don't have a connection to an organization that works with youth, I would really encourage you to find a way to get involved because there are some incredible things happening here.
And it's, you know, because we're one of the biggest sponsors, we always get to speak. And my joke is there's going to be people that cry in this room. It's not you kids that are participating. It's us adults because we're going to be so moved by their stories. And we are.
It is. It's really impressive. And every year I'm blown away by the kids that we get to meet and talk to.
So because we're in a school board building right now in a school board studio, we got to talk about the Education Foundation here, the St. Lucie County Education Foundation. We've partnered with them many times throughout the years, most recently to help with the homeless student population.
Yeah, the McKinney-Vento students that are in our community are sadly growing. But luckily, we have the support of the homeless liaison here. Shout out to Kylie for all the hard work that she does. But we've partnered with them for several years to make sure that there are hygiene kits and gifts and just some things to encourage them kind of as they go through the year, but especially at Christmas. So that they can feel like normal. And so that's something that we've done with them for several years. We also, think just last year did Play with Purpose with the Education Foundation, where we were able to help them purchase curriculum materials for children in kindergarten, kind of bringing play back into their world, which is
the learning component, right?
It's a learning component for sure, but they needed toys. And so who doesn't want to fund toys?
Right. I want toys.
Who doesn't want to buy toys? But yeah, great partnership with the Education Foundation.
And related to toys, because we just passed Christmas, and we've been doing this for, at least last 5 years? We've partnered with all three law enforcement agencies, Port St. Lucie Police, Fort Pierce Police, and obviously the Sheriff's Office, to help support their Shop with a Cop.
Yeah, which is really exciting. I don't know if you happened to be out sort of the 2 or so weeks before Christmas. I actually got a phone call from my mom, who was trying to shop at Academy Sports, and she was like, I don't know what's happening here, but there's cops everywhere. And I was like, Mom, it's Shop with a Cop. It's totally fine.
You're like, Mom, they're on to you? Just turn yourself in.
It's a really cool opportunity, sort of engaging youth in our community to have a positive relationship with law enforcement. So they get to actually walk around a store and shop with a cop. And typically they are shopping for family members, but often for themselves. Yeah. They get to pick out some fun stuff too.
You can't have a child go through Walmart toy store and not get something for themselves.
My kid can't leave the house and think he's not supposed to get something for himself. So that is true. But probably in the last, I think you said 5 years, that seems right. But we've been able to support what's happening there and the growth of that program too, as the need has increased in our community. So just a fun, exciting thing for them to get to
and
do.
The other side benefit of that is obviously the gifts for families in need over Christmas, but it also helps build relationships with law enforcement, mm-hmm. particularly with young kids, which is so very important.
Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of, I'm segueing, but it's not a great segue. going back to the Education Foundation and Kylie and working with homeless students, we also work with Care Bag to help those families that are homeless with hygiene products.
And again, shout out to Roxy, the amazing people that work in our community doing what they do. Roxy really is like one of those people who really understands what's happening on the ground in our community, and comes to us with all kinds of ideas about the best ways to serve them. But the one I think that she's been most successful with is ensuring that those hygiene kits are available and ready for teens, for women, for moms, and also keeping a fully stocked diaper pantry. I know that's one of the things that she's really dedicated to, making sure that moms have access to diapers because they are very expensive. And so she does a really good job making sure that she's got what our community needs.
And as we kind of wrap this one up, and I know we've just thrown out a bunch of stuff, just to let you know that your Children's Services Council, our Children's Services Council, isn't just those 54 programs having an impact on a lot of different areas. And if you're interested, if you have an event or you have an idea, by all means, call us at 772-408-1100 or go to our website, www.cscslc.org, and you can find out all the different opportunities that we can partner with you.
Yep.
All right, we have come to the end of the show. We're grateful for every listener. A reminder that it's a weekly radio program every Sunday on 104.5 The Flame at 10 a.m. If you miss it, do not fear, do not fret. Download the podcast version. Just pull up your podcast app and download Community Connections with Children's Services Council. We're very grateful for WLX Studios for allowing this little radio program become a TV program. And a reminder that even in 24, that it's our children, our community, our future. Now more than ever, folks, we're all in this together. We'll see you next time.